Welcome to the official Denko Jones podcast. Right now, Brendan Canning of Broken Social Scene, Head, many other bands, is scored the canyons. He's looking for a hand towel. He's covered in sweat. He's been bicycling. He bicycled a far distance to get here. He is smells good, though, even though he's covered in sweat. Danko is helping him find a hand towel. It looks like a scene out of Annie Hall or something. And we're back. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Danko's co-hotel over free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Jimmy in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down. Danko loves Mexican food. When we go out, he'll always turn to me and say, "It's taco time, Jerry." We order everything on the menu. Burritos, empanadas, carne asada flautas, enchiladas with mole sauce, chalupas, menudo, agua de horchata, moronga, torta de milanesa, queso flameado, torta de huevo, torta de jamón, and a tall glass of water. It's delicious, and the company isn't too bad either.
You're about to listen to the greatest podcast on the net. It's the official Danko Jones podcast. Get ready for your host, Danko Jones. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Sure. I was doing a running commentary as you guys stepped in.
Oh.
You guys missed it.
That's well, I'll tune into it. Once I catch up on all my podcasts.
Well, this is your annual. Brendan has come on ever since we started the podcast. Once a year he comes on.
Once a year? We've been doing this podcast for 3 years.
4 years.
4 years.
2011, now we started in the fall. And here we are in 2011.
Oh, here's a coffee
brigade.
We've
only made seven
patch.
Podcasts together.
You haven't gotten one.
I never got a patch.
Because I got those last summer, and I haven't seen you since you were here, episode 50.
Svartikev. Episode 50?
Yeah.
How many episodes have you done?
No, isn't that weird?
This would be episode 79.
Whoa.
And the 100th episode is going to be...
What is it going to be? What are we going to do for the 100th episode?
We should interview a 100-year-old man.
You want to fucking find one?
I'd love to. And it would be great if it were Professor Irwin Corey, because he's turning 100. And he's an old...
What a great idea.
Yeah, comedian.
That is a great idea.
We'll interview a 100-year-old man.
Professor
what a
Irwin.
Great idea.
Professor Irwin Corey.
Is that a real thing, or did you make that name up?
No, that's a guy. He's not, I don't think he's a vaudeville comedian. I feel like he came to fame in like the 50s or something, sort of in that like whole Lord Buckley kind of. So, where do we start? Where do we begin? Olympic fever. We're all gripped with
Olympic fever.
Can you believe this?
Sochi. We got a soccer fan in our midst.
Rob Ford, World Cup, Olympics. What's happened in this past year?
Yeah, are you one of those guys on Twitter? I haven't really been keeping up, but... Are you one of those guys when your team scores a goal, you go, yeah? Like one word, like, yeah.
I mean, I could go to my Twitter feed and give you all my soccer tweets I've made lately.
I just saw that you made one was like, soccer doesn't matter or something.
No, I just said, it's just football. And then someone wrote back, said no one in Brazil, ever.
I saw that, and then I clicked to see where
it's
it
funny.
Went. Yeah.
You know what? I just got my biggest retweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's talk about it.
Everyone does not fucking love Marine Land. And that seemed to get the most retweets of anything I've ever tweeted.
That is a weird thing. Like, the whole retweets thing is like, it's not generally going to be like your nearest and dearest piece of cleverness or something. It's just something that like the most people can understand. Yeah.
But I can see why people would retweet that because of the whole, you know, the...
And Marine Land's brutal.
Stupid song.
Whale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you start to see, it's like, oh, you get new followers and stuff like that. And then you see, like, I looked at this one person that, you know, followed me because of my stance on the whale and dolphin community. And then I posted some photo. It's like, let's keep retweeting this till we catch this guy. And it's like someone punching a dog. Like, why the fuck? It's like, what? Are you gonna catch?
Saw that tweet. It went around.
It's like, are you going to catch this guy? Like, who's going to fucking catch this guy? Anyway, whatever. It's just like...
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, sometimes it just feels like this weird thing of let's all be sad. Let's make sure we're not happy.
Yeah, like...
Because we know about a dog puncher who can't be caught. People on Facebook, when they write, you don't have to answer anything a cop asks you. You ever see people just...
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, I get it. Like, that's true. But you're right now, your friends who are reading this are all
just college graduates with kids who have like basically never met a cop.
Dude, it's like, what if your what if your house gets broken into? Who are you gonna call? Yeah. You're gonna call a cop.
I don't have to answer. Hello, 911. I don't have to answer anything that you ask.
There's a
little. You're cops, right?
Not a little bit. There's a lot of that.
And people are mad about it. I completely get it. You know, like it's like it's totally good to police the police, man. But it's also kind of funny when you're sort of just announcing to your world, which is generally like, you know, your mom, like your Facebook friends, like your sister and aunt and your buddy, and they're like, you're like, remember, mom, you don't have to say a thing.
Usually those are the people that follow the rules to the T.
Right, yeah. My mother is sad that I've drank liquor before.
Is she honestly? No.
Yeah, she's weirded out that when if I'm ever like, yeah, I had some whiskey, she'd be like, no. No.
No. Does she
stroke out?
Does she talk like that?
Yeah, she does. She's like, welcome to the dining room, Nick. We're gonna have
she's
dinner.
From Fargo?
No, she's
welcome. You say like, welcome to the dining
she
room.
She talks Nick. Like the weird kid at the birthday party in the corner.
We're having pancakes.
You like flapjacks.
So, Brendan, I appreciate you making the trek up here the way you did.
Biking up.
Yeah, I just did not leave myself enough time. But fortunately, it's a very cool summer day.
Cool, crisp summer day.
Yeah.
We should talk about the weather.
Well, I think we just did.
No more weather talk.
Well, we were trying to get this podcast scheduled and between the three of our
schedules.
It was
not that hard to schedule. It was only... like the shortest amount of emails,
but
I think.
Yeah, emails compared to the one with Leslie. Oh,
yeah, well, that takes more emailing.
Yeah, but you're in the studio.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not in the studio. I've got one film that I'm scoring. I've got one PSA for Toronto Waterfront.
Nice. Improve the waterfront.
Improve the waterfront with this dramatic music.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun.
And then, what else do I got? Oh, you know, I'm kind of like in semi-retirement mode.
Nice.
Really?
I mean, not by choice. Oh. I mean, I got.
It's like went from happy to sad. So quickly.
I mean, it was no. It's not. It's neither. Yeah. It's just sort of like, well,
here we are.
You're just chilling.
Yeah. Basically.
Are you scoring the Diamond Tongues film?
The Diamond Tongues, starring none other than Nick Flanagan.
Hi, how's it going?
Is that really happening?
I mean,
you guys are working together?
Yeah.
Roundabout?
Mm-hmm. Roundabout.
In a roundabout way.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
We're in the same credits, you know?
I saw the movie that you scored, the Lindsay Lohan movie you scored.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go?
All right. Yeah. I get people asking me about the music for that.
That's cool.
No one ever says, like, I love that movie, though.
I read somebody...
That's kind of a shit. Let's face it. It sucks. Or does it?
James,
or,
it's that weird thing where you're like, hey, I know what we'll do. We'll get a porn star in a movie. I'm not assuming James Dean does a good or bad job, but...
Well, he tweeted at Bret Easton Ellis. That's how he got it.
That's how he got it.
And then, you know, Paul Schrader, they were just like, you know, these fucking older dudes who are sort of winding down their careers. Ultimately, they've had their biggest hits, let's face it.
Sleeper.
Light Sleeper is a good film. Yeah, no, it's not a bad film.
I always wanted to see it. I've never seen it. It was always just the trailer before Miramax movies that I would buy on VCR.
It was with Willem Dafoe, Susan Sarandon.
Yes, that's the one. It seemed exciting.
Anyway, I saw it.
That was Paul Schrader, right?
Yeah, that's like 90s.
I could name so many of that period of Paul Schrader movies.
Autofocus was probably the last one I saw.
I liked. Night in the City with Robert De Niro. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Right. But, he just tweeted us, and then they're like, yeah, this is crazy. Let's do it. And then let's get Lindsay Lohan. She's such a train wreck. Yeah. This is going to be, you know, this is the perfect, because it's like the Hollywood is disgusting, and everyone trying to, you know, get ahead is disgusting. So let's get these people that are just...
Disgusting.
This guy's a porn. He's an adult film star.
Call up this guy to fucking score the film.
This guy's disgusting. Hey, are you disgusting? Score our movie.
James Dean is one of those porn stars that, for some reason, unsuspecting women will always go, oh no, I like James Dean, and it's like, yeah, you do, but like only compared to like the guy with the mole on his dick, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, he doesn't look like a '70s dirtbag.
And they're like, oh, he has like conversations, and it's like sort of like he does have like a rudimentary conversational like approach that is much more human than 99% of porn stars. I'll give you that much.
Are you talking about the dialogue scenes?
Well, I don't know if you ever saw, there was a thing where he had sex with a comedian lady named Ash something Tisdale, I think. She wrote an article about how she did a porn with James Dean because he tweeted. Powerful medium for James Dean.
Yes.
He tweeted that he was looking for amateurs, and so she signed up for it, and they did a porn together, and the whole thing is like them walking down the street and having like a totally casual conversation, and then they go to the hotel room, and then they have sex. And it's just like, people are like, yeah, it's kind of hot. It feels real. And it's like, no, it feels... Anything that's filmed badly feels a little real. You know what I mean? Like when porn... If the camera shakes.
Did you see it?
Yeah, for sure. I've seen every porno.
When I was scrolling down the IMDb list for James Dean's movies that he's made, there's a lot. Like we're talking into the thousands.
Of porn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because
there's only a few guys who's... It's the porn industry is still the same. Yeah. Few guys, tons of girls.
Yeah.
And
the guys make less money on average anyway, mm-hmm. right? So he's got to do...
So he's got to be doing 3 films a day.
Probably.
He's got to be...
Probably at least 3 films
a week. Well, not every day.
Yeah.
3 films a week, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, no, because if he's still in his 20s, and I'm talking like... I was amazed, like when you scroll down, like the, it's just like you keep scrolling. It just, it's like it never ends.
It's like, uh-huh. I want to watch you scroll. I was like, yeah. Oh my god, it's never ending.
Did you get to meet all of like James Dean and Lindsay Lohan and all that stuff? I was wondering if there were
one of those disgusting Hollywood types.
This guy's disgusting. Dean and Lindsay Lohan.
You know, someone's like, we want you to come down and just sort of feel the vibe of the set, you know, just so you can get a sense.
Bring a keyboard if you feel the need.
Yeah, you want to put in a patch 22. A-Bank, not C.
We're taping some voiceover today. We're just wondering if you could maybe hum a melody in the background.
I did actually, in watching the movie, I did recognize one of my favorite porn stars, if I could be so bold and reveal.
Please.
Lily LeBeau was...
In where?
Is in that movie.
What?
I can't remember. What's the name of the movie
the
again?
Canyons.
The Canyons. That's it.
Lily LeBeau.
Lily LeBeau does a cameo. With James Dean, I think.
That?
There's like a scene with a, like a menage a trois scene or a...
Oh yeah, there certainly is.
Famous scene, yeah.
Foursome.
Was it a foursome? Okay.
And that was the one that Lindsay Lohan... That's the thing where I read the long breakdown of how difficult Lindsay Lohan was on the set of it.
There was a couple scenes. There was like one threesome scene where the guy is just sitting in a chair, kind of having a wank.
Right.
And anyway, whatever.
Did you base
next?
Did you base the sidetrack at all? Like, did you take a Seinfeld music approach at any point with it? Like,
that's when you know who.
Maybe that's what they wanted
Kevin watched it. He's like, you got to go comedy on this. He was, and he, you know, we're watching the movie in my kitchen with, you know, with Paul Schrader there, and Kevin's like,
he says it in front of him.
Oh yeah, we had like a midnight screening in the kitchen at Draper Street,
and no music. Obviously,
temp music.
Oh, I see.
The temp music, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would love that.
That's hilarious.
Comedy, you know,
it was fucking funny.
My friend Drew on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
KD.
KD. That'd be good. He saw the movie, or he started watching the movie, some cut
of it.
Yeah,
he didn't see the final. I mean,
yeah. That movie. Man. It's weird. Movies.
Yeah, movies.
Big time.
Yeah, Kevin would like that. He's into that kind of stuff.
What, being on the podcast?
No, the Canyons. You like the movie Canyons?
I don't know if he would.
Right?
I don't know.
Porno stars, James Dean.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Lindsay Lohan.
Have you, I just to keep the porn movie talk going, what have you seen... A lot of these movies that are about like a dramatized version of porn or a non-porn movie.
Mm-hmm.
What are the best ones?
Oh well, I've seen them, but I haven't seen enough to rattle off.
Well, because I saw Lovelace or
what, like a
soft core movie. Boogie Nights, right? Boogie Nights is the best one. That's it's a simple answer.
Oh, that's actually what you mean. Yeah, I thought you meant like soft.
No. We're talking about movies about
the porn industry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
that aren't documentaries, you know.
Are like, there any more other than Boogie Nights?
Oh, there's so many, but Boogie Nights is for sure the best one. You've got that one that with I just remembered this movie, and you guys are gonna freak when you remember it. The fucking movie about the Mitchell brothers that starred Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen called Rated X or whatever it was.
Yeah, I remember. No,
that was a crazy movie.
Missed that one.
I remember
that. That was like an HBO movie before HBO movies were cool, you know?
Actually, I think it was Switzer who gave me the book on the Mitchell brothers, and I read it.
Their story is crazy. They're like Roger Troutman.
It's a crazy story. Born.
Switz!
We got to get Switz
on. I know. We should have... Has he not been on a podcast?
No, he's not.
Come on. Let's get Switzer on a podcast.
I know. We got to get Switzer.
He's a hero.
There should be a Kevin Drew and Richard Switzer podcast.
Are you talking two separate podcasts?
No, I'm talking together.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that possible?
Yeah, we should do it at Draper.
Yeah?
I'm noticing you guys don't really want to talk about this porno fiction movie thing as much as I do. So let's
let's go back to that topic again. Lovelace,
terribly depressing. Horribly depressing. The movie Lovelace.
Who was in that?
The Babe and Amanda Seyfried, I want to say.
I didn't watch that.
And then the amazing actor who you never know is in a movie until halfway through when you realize it's him is Sarsgaard. Peter Sarsgaard.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I don't know. I'm just saying there's a lot of these porn movies out there. Some of them are shoddy. Only Boogie Nights is classic.
There's a lot of films about porno movies.
Which is weird.
I just don't know any of them other than Boogie Nights.
Well, why would you watch one, you know? Because it's like, why wouldn't you just watch a porno and sort of...
To be honest, I'm just not that into porno.
You're not that into porno?
Not really.
Well, you
not as much as some.
We're all looking the other way.
So you're in retirement, so are you doing retired person things?
No, I'm not even. Like, my garden is just sort of... I'm just letting it grow wild. I was going to stain the deck.
Oh, that's cool.
That's sort of something you do if you're semi-retired.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's living the life.
Yeah.
Sanding a table.
But I thought Broken got back.
We did our one show in June.
Oh, it's
one,
just
one show a year.
You know, not a friend of mine, but I was on tour with somebody for this other band, and he goes, yeah, my other gig is with Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, you know, it's done, really. Yeah. But, you know, I guess at the time, this is going back 10 years, you know, once a month, we all meet in Vegas, we play House of Blues, everybody gets paid, and then we all scatter.
That was 10 years ago?
It was 9 years ago.
That's so crazy to think that 9 years ago, Sugar Ray were still past the thing. It's, you know.
Well, I mean, they could you know, pack wherever House of Blues for a night or whatever.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
in
they
Vegas.
Do,
I think it's in Vegas.
I was just talking about this with some people, too.
Ba-dum,
they have some nice melodies in their big hits.
What's that one song?
I just want to fly.
Yeah. They're fine.
And Mean Machine's a cool song, and then there's another song that's all right, and then you're basically, that was it, you know?
Mean Machine was a more heavier.
That was their earlier point where they were really, really varying the style. But so what they do now is they package themselves on, like, large festivals or tours or cruises even.
Sure.
With, like, Lit and Smash Mouth and the whole era basically hangs out together
Lit.
Playing a show.
I can't
Lit.
Believe you brought and up fuel. Lit. What?
Fuel probably.
Fuel. Oh,
dude. Yeah.
Who PA'd on a Fuel video?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Who got yelled at by the director for not having the playback set up right? I think he had done... Did he produce general public albums? I don't know.
The guy from Fuel?
No, the director. Bald British guy. Whoa. But here's an interesting footnote on that Fuel video shoot. The night before, the bass player was in some sort of funny situation. The director, guy who sort of scolded me, later apologized.
Oh.
Let's face it, I was not meant to be working on music videos. I was meant to be starring in them, bitch.
What bitch are you talking to?
That's just this other character that only comes out once every 5 years.
Yeah.
You saw right there. Yeah, so the director, he played bass in the video. But Fuel never really broke in Canada.
Which is kind of odd. There's like very few bands, I feel, that don't.
Like, you can't name me a Fuel song.
No.
Well, I didn't have my ear to the ground.
But I didn't really know that other band that was like Fuel that I can't even name.
What other band like Fuel?
It's not Air, but they had a name like Air.
Oh, Air Force.
No, not Air Force. I honestly...
Air
filter,
plane.
Filter.
Filter.
I couldn't name you a filter.
Oh, no. Filter. Or, yeah. They had that. Filter. It was kind of like...
No, we just played with Filter a couple of years ago.
They had what's that? Like it was sort of like humming.
Oh yeah, I kind
like,
of know. Hum, they're really hum, popular.
Oh my god! Everybody was humming me the song as we were going to the to the gig, and I was like nothing.
Yeah, I mean
no, you know that you know you'll know that song. There was some.
It was Nine Inch Nails and Pop Will Eat Itself.
The guy was in Nine Inch Nails. The singer.
Ah.
He was in Nine Inch Nails.
I think was it. Hey man,
I don't know.
Hey man, nice shot.
Oh, yes. Wow, yeah. Yes. That was the name of the song. Wow. Everybody was going, you know that song, and they'd hum it to me. I'm like, got nothing.
Oh, that's a tough one in that register.
But isn't that crazy? So now 90s bands are going to occupy the space that 60s and 70s bands occupied for the last 20 years.
That's just how it goes.
Well, that's how it goes, but it's like we have that's only the last 60 years of that it's been music of this style. So it's
hey
going
man,
towards
nice
middle
shot. I can't believe it. That all stemmed from Sugar Ray and talking about bands. Like,
well, it started
with
you.
Broken Social Scene.
Yeah. So Broken.
But we don't have those kind of hits. We have indie hits.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. But doesn't that mean that people will go for the whole concert more so? Yeah.
Well, no. It's I think, no, power. We're more in the let's see if we have albums that'll do what Neutral Milk Hotel have done. Because, you know, they just headlined a festival and they did two sold-out nights at Sound Academy and they made two albums. It came out in the 90s when indie rock kind of had a void going. And then these albums traveled, like Pavement, you know, then they're that much more popular. And then the Pixies, well, of course, they have like really classic
records. I think in Canada, you guys have a lot to do with people checking out bands like Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's kind of interesting. That's why do you, I know what you mean. But
because Broken Social Scene, when they came out, not to analyze the band in front of Brendan.
Sure, go ahead and analyze. I need all the analysis I can get.
I think they captured and they held a lot of people's attention and gave them what everybody was thirsting for. This indie
I mean,
thing.
That definitely.
They fed them that and in doing so created a thirst for the scene, the music. And other people started checking out other bands because of they got into Broken.
When was that?
Can I just say, what year was I was already onto Neutral Milk Hotel.
It was already
before Broken.
Yeah. So you know who else was? Richard Switzer.
Yeah. Was this like 12 years ago?
What?
That you forgot it and people and all that. And there was like a big show.
12 years ago.
That related. It was 12. What was the big show? Was it at the Horseshoe or something? Like there was some. I just remember one day. There is not something going on, and then the next day, like I went to go to a record store, and it's suddenly everything in Toronto is like blowing up.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
who knows? I got a deck to stay in. That's all I know. That's where I'm at. A dog needs walking. Deck needs staining. Got to put up some curtains. Got to buy some '90s R&B records for my next dance party.
Oh yeah!
Nice. I need some '90s R&B jams.
So well, you've got. You know who's underrated? Dave Hollister solo albums. Check those out.
See, I don't know those.
Yeah, Dave Hollister is kind of like R. Kelly without the horrific backstory and guilt over listening to him.
Huh.
He's got great songs. Bad When You Broke, great song. He has this album called. He had an album called Real Talk in like 2003. You know, so what is
Dave Hollister?
Dave Hollister.
Huh. Yeah.
And you
see,
know,
I don't even have Return of the Mac.
Oh, well, who's that by? What's that one? Is that Bobby Brown? No, it's not Bobby
Brown. Like Mark someone or other.
Mark. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Some R&B stuff.
Are you talking about like Angie Stone and that kind of stuff?
No, not Angie Stone. More like Bad Boy Entertainment.
Yeah, you're talking about Total and 112.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like Father MC and all that
like
shit.
Like Genuine. No.
Genuine?
No, Pony is such an amazing song.
I love it.
Yeah.
You got that, though.
No, I don't have it.
Or so that's what you're looking for.
You know, a song
like. I need some, like a Brandy and Monica.
Yeah, well, do you like
Aaliyah and all that stuff?
Yeah. I have I'm missing some of those.
You know, What About Us by Brandy? That's a good one for me.
Oh, yeah, I used to have the dance remix of that.
Oh, cool.
I had like the house mix of that, which was not amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean,
the regular version was probably better.
Yeah, because it had that stuttery feel. It had that neat kind of like sort of Destiny's Child.
Why are you
looking
for that stuff?
Because when I DJ, it seems like that's what people want to hear. That's what gets people going.
I don't think you do.
You know, I can see that. Actually,
you know what I mean?
If you threw on Pony, I'd be like, fuck, I haven't heard this in fucking forever.
Yeah, plus the beat's amazing. You know, like
Crisscross. That's kind
no,
of
no. That's yeah.
People play but Pony all that Jermaine all Dupri the stuff. Time. Like yeah. You're gonna hear Pony
all the time,
every night. If you were to go to out to like a bar that they'd play
yeah.
Pony.
But that is like basically the equivalent of going out and hearing Zeppelin now.
Yeah,
Genuine is. Yeah. Classic like
he's
that.
Our Zeppelin.
I can't believe you just uttered that.
I know. I can't believe it either.
No, Genuine is Page, and then Timbaland is, or the Genuine is Plant, and Timbaland is.
Well,
is
all the
Page.
Timbaland and Magoo stuff.
Oh
get
God,
that,
Magoo right? is really underrated.
Oh, see, I don't know that stuff.
No, I don't like Magoo.
Well, Timbaland, no, like you know, Timbaland.
I can't handle Magoo.
Before he branched off without Magoo, they were. It was like a hip hop.
Magoo.
Duo, right?
I could never handle that his name was Magoo. I was immediately done.
Destiny's Child. Oh, in Vogue, right?
Well, yeah, see, I don't even have. But no, but What a Man. That's kind of a good track.
Oh, no. There's definitely good
Salt
songs.
And Pepper.
But that's just going back to more of the New Jack Swing style
Ooh,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, and I used to hate the New Jack Swing shit, but then.
I like some of it.
Oh, I love Poison. Like, I love some Bell Biv DeVoe.
Nice and smooth.
Well,
nice
well that's smooth. Rap, but that's,
I know, but.
Yeah.
It's like sugary rap.
I like
yeah.
Girl, I Want to Sex You Up. Who's that?
Oh, that's Color Me Bad.
Color Me Bad.
And there's another one.
I like that song.
And of course, Boys to Men. Don't forget Boys to Men. If you haven't
yeah.
seen Larry
Have you
King's...
seen that? There's like some 7-year-old busting out that song on YouTube.
What, The End of the Road?
I don't know. Some kid sings.
Do you play that at the end of the night?
I don't. No.
I Will Shit, Always man. Love You. That's We're going to like... Just 90s.
Yeah.
Like, I could name you the top 10 on CFTR. What was the big...
CFTR.
Was that the one?
What, the AM radio?
Yeah, the AM 640.
1050 Chum FM.
And 680. 640 and 680 were like the two top 10 stations when I was young. And I remember it would be like, you'd have your... Rump Shaker by Rex and Effect.
You gotta have that, right?
On AM radio?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That was 92, man. That's 92, yeah. 93.
And then you...
Those stations were playing that?
Yeah, and here's another one. H-Town, Knockin' Boots. You talk about old R&B. That's a little classic.
H-Town.
You know?
H-Town,
yeah.
I don't know that one.
Somebody rockin', knockin' the boots, you know?
But Rex and Effects was... that's like rap.
Yeah, I don't like Rex and Effects.
Farrell produced that track.
Produced Rex and Effects?
That's too...
Farrell Williams.
No, that's so long ago.
He produced... That was his first track he produced, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know, man. That's like 17 years years ago. But
yeah, he could have... Yeah,
I guess
he
would have been a bit... He's a bit older. Yeah.
He could be 20 years old and producing...
I could believe that. I could believe that.
Let's go here.
Yeah, let's do it. Googling. Let's do it. Because, you know, there's no reason why a 20-year-old... could not produce Rex and Effect. It's
also,
not like it's
I would
not
argue
genius music.
That Rex and Effect that's similar to Nice and Smooth. That's like very pop rap in a good way.
Nice
the
and
way
Smooth, isn't that? Is that a Pete Rock thing?
I mean, it was definitely related to that type of Mount Vernon stiff.
It was rumored that Farrell, along with Chad Hugo, contributed additional production.
Ah,
so but producer Ty Fife stated in 2011, he and Teddy Riley.
Teddy Riley.
Farrell's only contribution was lyrical. So
oh, interesting.
So there you go.
And Teddy Riley also, I believe, was involved in that Blackstreet song, the huge Blackstreet song. No Diggity.
Blackstreet.
What's the big Blackstreet song?
No Diggity. It's the
that's,
best song.
Diggity. Yeah. That's Blackstreet?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
How about Montel Williams?
Montel Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then you're getting into the sort of like that Nate Dogg, Domino, Montel Jordan thing. Which
I need some of that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say
Domino, the Ghetto man. Jam is about
I need a list. Need
LV.
A list.
LV. You got to give it to LV.
What's
that? That's the Gangsta's Paradise guy.
Oh, a Coolio.
No, LV is the guy who goes, we've been spending all
our he's singing the hook.
He's a big part of that song.
Coolio.
It's actually crazy when you think about that.
I love that song.
Compare. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know what's not as good? The original.
Really?
What do you mean?
By Lakeside.
He actually bettered the original.
I think so.
Well, sometimes
it's a sample. Because there's like, ride, slippity slide.
That's not on the original.
No, it's just like you got, come along and ride on this fantastic voyage. And then it kind of goes off into like this other part.
Oh.
It's like,
I fucking love the Coolio fantastic.
Yeah.
Boy. I had no idea you were such a Coolio head.
I remember buying...
the one song? Yeah. I really love the one song.
I bought the Coolio CD, I think, in Saskatchewan when
Does
I was on tour.
Coolio?
I think I bought that.
Oh.
What else did I buy?
I might have
bought... I think I bought that and Super Chunk foolish at the same time.
I definitely had a lot of purchasings that we probably all did, where like you were buying some indie rock album, like then a very, very hard rap album sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
Like, and like, you know, Enter the Wu-Tang or like The Infamous or something. Huh. And then
I remember buying like Digable Planets Blowout Comb and Anthrax, whatever, like fourth or fifth album they had.
Digable Planets are one of the most underrated. Yeah. I don't know if underrated is the word, but it's like they did such great records in
Blowout
the 90s.
Blowout Comb was amazing.
But the first other two albums is really good.
But that's all they have.
No, but then that guy is doing Shabazz Palaces now, and it's pretty interesting.
But that's Shabazz Palaces with, I think, helping out his buddy in Digable Planets.
No, but isn't that the guy from Digable Planets? No?
I don't think so.
I think it is, man. I think it's the former...
Let's go to the phones.
It's like Doodle Bug.
No way. No, it's a guy, Shabazz Palaces.
No, it's the dude. It's the dude, but he changed his name. And I'm telling you.
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. This is a challenge. I feel like we're in a...
I think Shabazz Palaces is the producer, and he got the guy from Digable Planets...
Oh, man, that could be so.
Yeah,
but I thought it was he did the beats and the music.
Some I had that Shabazz Palaces record, then I got rid of it.
Were you bored? I never actually listened.
On Wikipedia, it is an associated act. Digable Planets is
an associated act. Yeah,
but it doesn't
because
say to what association.
You
got to
click on Shabazz Palaces.
I am on Shabazz Palaces.
No. I did. You know what? I liked the.
Oh, here
where
we
it was
go.
Coming from, but
Ishmael
it's just
Butler, aka Palacir Lazaro, once. Butterfly of Once jazz butterfly. Rap group Digable Planets.
What is really?
So he's not Doodlebug, but it's...
Well, no, Doodlebug was a woman.
I interviewed her one time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really sexual.
A couple years ago, they played Dundas Square.
Digable Planets.
Far Side and Digable Planets.
Why didn't I go to that?
Because, you know, because I think it was only Doodlebug who showed up. I don't know.
Some of those Swans just played Dundas Square?
Yeah, right before... St. Vincent.
That's crazy.
Wow, she played that too?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I just missed that.
Yeah.
I was sitting here.
You're kidding.
I know.
Yeah, I could have gone.
You could have gone.
I didn't go.
I can't even read the reviews of it because it just reminds me of what I missed.
Dundas Square has amazingly programmed free
that
shows.
That is amazing.
You know, like it's... Yeah. I mean, from the one year being the Stooges, the other year being like Descendants and Devo.
Those were the ones I saw. I think John Kasner. Probably had.
Yeah, those is good
John
on
Kasner
John.
Is the programmer for that?
Well, he was. Now he's Canadian Music Week.
Well, good on John.
Yeah, good on John Kasner. A little Doughboys action.
Yeah, you see him every now and then. I think I saw him around somewhere.
Yeah, I see him every now and then.
He's in Toronto or
no? No, in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going out with that mad...
Jessica Parra. I know, I got invited to her birthday party. I was like, oh, I'm too tired. I'm in Hollywood. I'm disgusting. I don't want to go to any birthday party.
But that's a classic LA thing to do. Is like, not go out.
It was at
more. Yeah.
It was at the end of the tour, like the very end. I was just like, I'm tired.
Are you talking about a broken tour?
No, my solo tour.
Oh, when did you do that?
Did that last fall into winter, and then I did a handful of dates in January.
How did it go?
Not bad.
You got a new album you're going to work on or no?
I got a bunch of songs. I should make an album. I'm going to have to bust out of the semi-retirement mode at some point.
Do you got a title? Do you have a book of titles?
No, what was the title I had? Hang on.
Well, last time when Leslie was here, we were talking about all those acoustic stuff, the outgoing messages.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
What's that?
I thought I had an album title here somewhere.
You don't want to bust it out on the podcast, do you?
Sounds like you might.
Is this an exclusive or should
exclusive.
We just edit it out? Or?
Oh, no. Just someone sent me a funny text. She said, "The Curse of a Simple Pleasure." And I just wrote back, album title.
The Curse of a Simple Pleasure?
Yeah.
Simple Curses.
That's good.
Simple Curses.
Cursed Pleasure.
And that leads into you and an acoustic guitar. With your outgoing messages. There we go. Very simple.
Bam. But I got more of like a hippie West Coasty thing going now. Not so much. You know, I developed some arm problems with all the finger picking on tour. I came home with basically tennis elbow.
Ugh.
And it's still.
Are you stretching?
Yeah, I am stretching. Not as much as I should. Let's do some stretching now.
I got to stretch.
But it is. It's.
Oh, that feels
fucking
good.
That was painful. And then this left shoulder compensated. I don't know. I got a bit of arm situations right now.
No, I mean, I could look into it and give you some numbers to call.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That might help. It's always expensive. Dude. It's always expensive to fix yourself.
I know. I'm dying of poverty because of trying to fix myself right now.
But you got
to
do it.
You do. You got to stay on that medication.
Do you own a car? No? Well, then you better fix yourself.
Yeah. Because if you have a car.
You're going to have to pay to get that fixed. And then you can't fix yourself, but at least your car can get you to places.
Yeah, just let your car represent like
all of your personality, everything. That's what cars are for.
Yeah. Broken car, broken mind.
Yeah.
Broken car, broken
something. I mean, it was always that new music, you know, when they did the new music spotlight that Daniel Richler was the host.
Yeah.
And it was like, spotlight on local Toronto. There was one particular show at Larry's Hideaway where it was like Hateful Snake played, Blind Vengeance from Ajax played, and the new music did a little special on the up-and-coming metal scene. And Hateful Snake were one of like the Rapid Tears, I guess, were... I saw Rapid Tears open for Exciter.
Wow.
Fuck, I wish I had my Exciter t-shirt still.
What happened to it?
I had all my rock t-shirts on one hanger at my folks' place, and then I think my mom just ditched them. Like, don't worry about it, Mom. That Power Slave shirt, not worth anything. Not worth anything now.
Yikes.
Yeah, can you imagine if I just put an Iron Maiden Power Slave t-shirt up for sale? Highest bidder, please.
Those go for like $200 now. Even higher.
I saw one in New York. This is years back, so I don't know what it's like now, but it was $600 on the street. It seemed crazy. Yeah.
Bucks? I'm not going to throw it. Who has $600 walking by?
Some people who just want to like, yes, Iron Maiden, that's cool. I need that.
Yeah. $600 is like a small sum to these.
But I think I sent you down a rabbit hole because I got a tweet from you like the other week going, Blind Vengeance, man.
Oh, that one, Harry Hess's vocal performance on that. That's a good vocal performance.
Is that the Hateful Snake song?
No, it's a Blind Vengeance song.
Blind Vengeance?
The drumming is so shit. That drummer, he actually had my, it's back to Anthrax, he kind of like had my Anthrax album and I, you know.
He had it.
Yeah, he still has it. He still has it to this day.
Oh, so you've got that grudge.
Well, now I'm over it. But it was like, dude, yeah, I know you had it. I know you had it all that time, and you fucking lied to me. It's like, look at you. Now that guy's got his own metal band in Oshawa.
Oh, really?
Darren Smith, yeah.
What's the name of the band?
Oh, I don't know. It's insane.
But Brendan and I are working on something with a few other people that's going to blow minds. And maybe from there we can figure out who could join us.
If that actually happens.
I'll tell you
off the video,
mic. That I'll video? I'll tell you off the mic. All right. It's actually pretty fucking cool. All
right. So, dude, so, Daniel Richler, more, you know, akin to Mordecai Richler, he was a pretty hilarious new music host. He came to my school. He came to Ajax High School.
I used to love him on Imprint. I used to watch him on Imprint.
TVO. And
I loved
his
personality.
I thought
it was cool.
He also aligned himself with the metal scene like way back in the 80s.
That's awesome.
Like what a funny thing to do.
He did a poetry show and also focusing on the metal show. That's cool.
He used to come on Toronto Rocks, Midweek Metal Mania.
With John Major.
John Majors.
Yeah.
And I remember this one episode he was telling John Major's the metal.
Yeah.
Metal words.
I just watched that.
Like,
yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, excellent.
It's
oh,
not
yeah.
excellent. It's excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious. And then you hear music.
Have you watched on. You can. Because Kenny Hotz sends me some funny stuff. And then, of course, I go down the rabbit hole after watching something. But there's a Toronto Rocks episode where Ozzy Osbourne is on it. And it shows the best barks at the moon.
Oh, amazing.
Holy shit.
Who's barking?
Just people random fans. Oh, and you God. Get one guy, like some, like everyone's really into it, but one guy is just like, He doesn't even howl. He just like is getting is so into character, and then other people are just like, you know, but like so into it, and everyone's got their own take on.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's not just like everyone going, oh, it's all different. Yeah, it's amazing.
And that was on Toronto Rocks.
Yeah, and like the way it's shot too. It's just oh, it looks right. It's.
You know it's what just, I'm doing right now? Actually, today, this morning, yesterday I found a lot of these videos, VHS videotapes that I made when I was in high school of like stuff off Much Music.
Oh yeah, you just tape.
So I'm getting it transferred.
Oh,
today.
That's crazy.
Oh. So I'm gonna find out what I got on there.
Oh, there'd be a Y&T video.
What's Y&T?
Oh, dude, the ultimate San Francisco metal band, Metallica, pre.
Okay.
I guess the biggest tour they got on, I mean, they would get on tours because I think they were just a respected band. They had a In Rock We Trust.
Uh-huh. Yeah, In Rock We Trust. And they had the robot.
Yeah, they had the robot. It was sort of like their mascot.
Okay.
But a few years back, one of the road crew, Y&T Road Crew, he came, we met him, and then eventually he actually teched for me on a couple of shows. But he said that a couple of dudes in Y&T are big fans of ours.
Big Danko Jones
fans.
Yeah.
And I go, if we ever play a show, I want to get in the robot suit. I want to be the robot. And he goes, okay.
Done.
Sure. Yeah.
Done.
We are working on our new studio album.
What can people expect?
In the city of...
Actually, we are working on it. Here's where it all ties in.
Yeah.
I guess you got to go. But I'll tie it in like this. We're mixing started on Monday, and we're mixing at Vespa, which is Harry Hess's studio, who is the singer of Blind Vengeance.
Whoa.
There we go.
There you go.
Love it.
It's all tied together. Album title?
No.
We do have one, but I can't say it.
No,
can I make
not
a
gonna...
guess?
Sure. It won't be it, but.
Dinko Bones?
No. Wrong. So close
though. So that was really close. That's whoa, in the running.
Phew.
Yeah. No, it's actually Binko Domes.
Music Kiosk.
That's a good one.
That's a good one actually. For the right band. That should be your new album
Music
title.
Kiosk.
Music Kiosk.
That's amazing. I want the wrong whole album to be called Music Kiosk.
Didn't we hatch your comedy album
yes,
title
that was
on this
debuted
podcast?
Here. Humors. I still haven't done
Humors.
Anything.
Humors, as in Fleetwood Mac. That's his comedy.
Humors.
Album. Yeah, and then the cover is going to be like Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
But we got to end it, though.
Yeah, let's end it.
Well, thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
For the annual stop on the old podcast.
Yeah, hey, it's July. That's my time.
Welcome to July. Yeah, it's been 13 months, because last time you and Leslie came down in June.
Oh.
That was number 50.
Right. That was last year?
Yeah, man.
And then when did we do the one with...
With Damien and John.
The Black Coffee Brigade.
That was probably the same year.
September of 2012.
Oh, wow.
At Noble Street Studios.
Yeah, I remember that. And this bad boy, this little patch here, that's mine?
Yeah, you know who's got them? Only a few, there's like 10 people who got them. The guy who designed it, Andreas, our webmaster who's part of it, Ole, Nick, me, JC, Damien, Wade McNeil. He's part of the brigade.
Is he?
Yeah, he's been on here like 4 times.
How come? I want to be on a podcast with that guy.
He's fun to talk to.
Oh, well.
Let's set
okay,
it up.
Let's do it. We're doing it right now, and then I'll tell him to listen to the episode.
Yeah.
And then I'll hook you guys up on Twitter.
Yeah. I've had some dim sum with Wade, guys.
See, I've never hung out with that guy.
Fun and day. Then get this. Guess, I don't know if you know this, but the newest member
of
the Black Coffee Brigade
is,
I've never announced this, Duff McKagan.
Well, let's go.
Guns N' Roses, yeah.
Maybe if I'd met him, maybe if I'd been in any of these interviews, I would have been.
Well, Damien and I, we did one.
Oh, Damien.
We did two.
You and Damien.
And I, yeah, and then I did one with him on.
And when did Duff do one?
He's been on the podcast 3 times.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The one episode with Damien and I, that was in two separate occasions, I put it all together as one, and then him and I did another one.
I heard he bought the Dufferin Mall. And he's renaming it the Duffin Mall, like D-U-F-F apostrophe I-N.
So it is an esteemed group of people.
That is an
esteemed
group.
Yeah, you got to be on the podcast 3 times.
And there's a reason why Guns N' Roses have stood the test of time. They have
Duff just played with
They have good bass lines.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, true.
You ever listen to Sweet Child of Mine?
It's all bass.
It's a lot of bass.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Bass.
Bass.
I gotta go. He's a pro. That's Nick. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap,
Nick. That's a wrap on the podcast.
Do you want to grab lunch?
Yeah, I'll grab a little lunch.
Let's grab lunch.
I wish I could.
All right. Okay.
All right. Did we wrap it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done, right?
All right, we're done.
Okay. Thanks, Brendan.